Well, that's a tough one to follow. I was going to stand up here and tell you how tough it is to pack. Now I realize that's a breeze. Yeah, the Lord's been good. And you know, it was about a year ago that I stood here and said, we will be leaving shortly. And then I said it again and again and again. But finally, the day has come, and our house is now empty. We're imminently moving across. We'll probably drive over on Friday, Lord willing. They've given us a house there, so all that's set up now. It's just a question of getting everything there and then starting. And then our 2 years starts to count down. As Dion said, we'll be gone for 2 years, and then we'll be back with you again. But we will be back throughout the 2 years and come a visit, and we'll definitely be attending online, but often now and again come back and hopefully share with you as well what the Lord's been doing. But it's been an incredible journey. Right from the word go, it's been tough as well, in the sense that we knew this is what God had given to us. It was an opportunity He gave us, as the work seconded me over there for 2 years. A new experience, I suppose, and meet new people and do whatever the Lord wants us to do. But, you know, the Lord's hand's been so good to us and so graceful. You know, when it comes to the day when you move, that's a dreaded thing. I don't know about you, but we've been staying in a house for a number of years. There's a lot of stuff that you have to start clearing out. So when the removal guys pitched up on Thursday, it was with a bit of apprehension that we welcomed them in, and there's the house, start packing, guys, and good luck. So they spent 2 days, they were packing, but we quickly found out that these young men that came in, they were very joyful, very respectful, and we just kind of felt, attached to them somehow. And we mentioned with someone, the four guys that work with this, under this one guy's name is George, he's their team leader. And then he had another guy that came in, a new guy, which no one really knew much about. But anyway, he asked this George, he said, George, where are you from? And he said, I'm from Brazil. And I mentioned it to Haneke. And Haneke said to him, oh, you got people in our church from Brazil as well. And he looked at us and he said, are you Christians? And we said, yes. He said, so am I. And, that's such a blessing. But then he said, not just me, my whole team. It's just you realize the hands of God, even in the smallest detail. You think it could have been anyone. I mean, what are the chances in today's world to have a team like that, full of the Lord, full of the Holy Spirit, at times probably hindering them packing, because when you get talking about the Lord, it's hard to work. it was a blessing for him to share with us his family and his children and his wife, and they all love the Lord, and they serve the Lord. It's beautiful, wonderful. So for us, it was a tremendous encouragement, the sign at the hand. The Lord says, it's okay, I'm here with you. And anyway, we moved in. The work gracefully put us in a hotel just across the highway here until we can go. And so yesterday morning we went for our first breakfast there, sitting all prim and proper, eating and talking in our heavenly language. That's Afrikaans, by the way. Realizing no one can understand what we're saying. And I was in a bit of a hurry, and she said, no, I haven't finished my coffee at all in this heavenly language. And suddenly the couple sitting next door says, oh, and he talks as well in the same heavenly language. You've got to be careful, you can't hide. Anyway, there were South Africans as well. And so we got chatting with them. And you know what? They're busy moving. They just packed up their house. And they're actually moving back to South Africa. They're retiring. They're basically our age, I would presume. And so they're finishing off retirement. But it was amazing how we could just share the burdens of what we both faced and gone through. And again, it was like the Lord was just saying, I've got this. It's okay. It's normal. Yeah, so it's been a real blessing. And then, of course, all of you have been such a blessing. And as Mary Ann rightfully said, what a blessing. When we left South Africa, that's now going on for 18 years, 18 years ago, 2008, I think we left South Africa. It was probably one of the hardest things we had to do that time, coming to a strange country, not knowing anyone, driving to work using the sat nav, getting annoyed at the sat nav. I didn't even know which side the sun come up. You know, when we got here, I thought you guys didn't even have big supermarkets. I thought you had these little shop called Little Tesco's. Eventually I said to her, what's wrong with this country? You know, eventually we learned. But it was so hard when we came over. But you know, the Lord gave us that promise in his word. He says, no one will ever forsake his mother, father, sister, or brother, and I'll give you 100-fold more. And that's what he's done. And so, you know, we see you all as family, and we really love you all. And we'll be back very soon. I just want to say thank you for all the prayers, thank you for all the love, support. Continue to pray that the Lord will lead us and guide us everywhere, even the house where we're gone. We believe it's absolutely the Lord's hand in it. So we're just so grateful for it all. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, dear.
Pray for them as a church. I know we did this at the farewell lunch that we had.
Yes, and I just want to mention that lunch was fantastic. Thank you so much. We really appreciated that. Yes, such a wonderful lunch as well.
Yes, then let's just pray for them as a church.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you again just for, Lord, your mighty hand upon all of our lives. Lord, I thank you already for the testimony that we heard today of just your goodness, your grace, your mercy. And Lord, I know so many have been praying, Lord, so we know that you are directing their steps, and we continue to pray that, Lord, you'll put them in that right neighborhood, Lord, amongst the right people. Father, you bless the work they'll be doing there, Father. And we just pray your blessing upon it. The time they'll be spending with family that's visiting, all of that would be a blessing, Lord. And I know it's sad for us as a church, and it feels like a big hole for us, but we thank you for your grace and your mercy, your faithfulness, as we've heard time and time again this morning already, that you provide for our needs. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you provide for mom and dad's needs, and also for the needs of the church here, Lord. And that we will continue strong in the power of your might. So, Lord, bless them. May your mighty hand remain upon them and bring them joy. And, Lord, may the 2 years go by quickly, we ask. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Put some tears here this morning. Yes. But yeah, it's all about seasons, you know, and it's grateful to the Lord for what he does. And we always just got to be ready for whatever it is the Lord would have us move on to in our own lives as a church. And so, but it is always encouraging, you know, when you hear testimonies like that and you can look back and see what God's done in our lives, you know, and it's with that confidence, that faith, if I may say, that you look forward. Because I remember a pastor once prayed with somebody that was going through a difficult time as a believer, and he asked them just very simply, has God ever failed you? Has he ever let you down? No, he's not. Well, then why are you worried that he's going to do it now? You see, we should not worry. God is always in our lives, and as long as we remain faithful to him, and even when we go wrong, like the prodigal son, God is faithful, and he's disciplined, and the ways that he works with us brings us back to himself. And so we are so blessed and so grateful to be called the body of Christ. And indeed, as he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. So what a blessing. So now, just in the few moments that remain, I was very pleased by the testimonies this morning, and I don't want to take away from that in any way. But just to look at a few things in the Word, just in the few moments that remain, we're going to turn to the book of 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter, and just look at a few things here that will hopefully encourage us. 1 Peter chapter 1, just the first few verses there. I'll read it for us, and then we'll look at a few things as the Lord leads us this morning in the time that we have. So 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 1, I'll just read up to verse 9. I don't think we'll go through it all, but I'll just read it so we can get a bit of context. So, Peter, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He writes to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. We thank you for these precious words this morning. May you speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. Through your precious word, Lord, let us have ears to hear what it is you're saying to each and every one of us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So just very quickly, my friends, Peter is one of the standout characters in the Bible, if you like, if you've ever studied his life. And of course, we know Peter, the fisherman that Jesus himself called to be and a disciple of Jesus. And at this point, when he's writing this very letter, is an apostle of Jesus, sent out one of Jesus. But Peter's journey, as I hope we know, is a interesting one and quite comical in some places. But his transformation is what is so amazing. So I've listed down just a few things of Peter. When you think about Peter the fisherman, when he was walking with Jesus and going about their business as a disciple of Jesus, as young man, the fisherman, and some of the trouble that he gets himself in with his mouth. So a number of things that Peter did. So at first we see that he was impulsive in his actions, okay? Sometimes good, sometimes bad. We think, for instance, walking on the water. None of the other disciples dared do that, but Peter was impulsive. He was brave. He was courageous in that sense, just to get out and walk on the water, although he found himself sinking, but Jesus lifting him up. That's from Matthew 14, 28. Matthew 14, 28 to 31. In another case, we see Peter and his zeal, if you like, when they came to arrest Jesus. We read about this in John 18, verse 10. And as they're about to arrest Jesus, what does Peter do? Whips out the sword, cuts off the ear of the servant. Malchus was his name, yes? If you're going to attack my king, my sword you're going to get, yes? And Jesus miraculously heals the man's ear and rebukes Peter for this. But this is the Peter that we see, always impulsive, always jumping out like this in a zeal, okay? We read about Peter who rebuked Jesus when Jesus spoke of his imminent suffering and death. You read about this in Matthew 16, verse 22 and 23. And then Peter said, no. But Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, okay? He spoke out in that same zeal again. We see that Peter was overconfident in some of the things that he did, that he will never fail the Lord. He will never let him down. And of course, we know that led to the denying of Jesus three times. He was unable to stay awake to watch when Jesus told him in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he took Peter, James, and John, with him, and Peter, he left behind there to pray with other disciples. Watch and pray while Jesus goes, while he's in agony before he goes to the cross. And he comes back, and what's Peter doing? Having a nice nap because he's tired. Peter, can you not stay awake for 1 hour? One thing I'm asking you to do and you can't do it. And he goes away and he prays again, comes back. What's Peter doing? He's fallen asleep. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, Jesus would say. And of course, Peter, we know something that must have broken him when Jesus said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. He denied Jesus three times emphatically and very clearly exactly as Jesus said. And so you see Peter, this amazing man of God, had a real tough time, as it were, getting to this place of where he's now being sanctified. But of course, we know this awesome day came, the day of Pentecost, which we've been looking at as a church. And of course, Peter's the first one that stands up there in Acts chapter 2, as we looked at before, as the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Yes, a tongue, a flame of fire. And he stands up boldly. And Peter, still being Peter, but now filled with the Holy Spirit, preaches a message that is so powerful and changed the course of history, if you like. All those people that came to salvation on that day, speaking a powerful message of repentance. And so it's this Peter, okay, with all his pitfalls, all his failings, if you like, in his flesh, that has now been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's this Peter that is now, many years later, writing this letter of encouragement to the church. Okay, the church is specifically targeting his brothers and sisters of the flesh, the Jewish believers of the time. He was an apostle to the Jews, but of course speaks to every single one of us. And you can see the change that has happened in Peter here this morning. So where previously Peter had the zeal to do, I want to do, and he would say it, and the Lord would like, get back in your box, Peter. Okay, you're gonna fail miserably, even though you will try. But he had that zeal, but the inability to do. But now, under the power of the Holy Spirit, and we looked at that power, when Jesus says, when you are endued with power from on high, that word dunamis, which is the ability to do. Where previously he did not have the ability, even though he wanted, he had the desire, he had the inability to do. And one of the things I can see amongst Christians, and this is a message to all of us, including myself, how many times will we use those words of Jesus as a cop-out? Oh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, Jesus. Okay. I'm tired, I'm weary. Yes, Jesus was speaking to a Peter before the day of Pentecost. But my friends, after the day of Pentecost, we have the ability to do in Jesus. And we've got to get that clear in our minds. There's no excuse. If God's given you something to do, you cannot say, oh, no, Lord, I'm willing, but the flesh is too weak. No, if he's given it to you to do, you can. And we got to do it, okay? So it's this new Peter, if you like, renewed Peter, that's writing this letter. And this is why he opens his letter. These openings to these letters are amazing. He writes to the pilgrims, to the dispersion. So the Jews were scattered as they were under persecution. These Jews, early believing Jews, they were scattered everywhere because the religious Jews, as it is today, in the name of same religion, same spirit behind it, persecutes those true followers of Jesus, yes? Servant is not greater than the master. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Okay? They may not persecute you the way they did here in these early days, although they may want to, in many countries they do, but that hatred is always there. Okay, so we've got to watch out for that. So he's writing to these scattered Jews, believing Jews, and he calls them the elect, verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We could spend a whole sermon series on those few words. And this has caused a lot of tension and discussion, these famous words that Peter is saying here. And many of you perhaps have encountered the whole teaching of Calvinism, you know, the whole thing that you were chosen by God and you had no say in it whatsoever, and you either elect or you're not. Okay, so in a nutshell, what Calvinists teach. But this is not what we believe and teach here in this church, okay? There is a choice involved. But nevertheless, we can read here, the elect of God, it is God's desire that all should come to repentance. You are free to go out on the street today and look anybody in the eye and say, Jesus has died for you. He has made provision for you to be saved according to the foreknowledge of God. He desires for you to be saved. You've got to come to that place of repentance and accepting this free gift of salvation in Jesus. This elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. You look right back at the Garden of Eden, you know, when Adam and Eve fell. And the separation that happened between God and his creature that he's made in his very image. You know, and Adam and Eve, you know, they realized that they were naked. Their innocence, as it were, was gone. God clothes them. God puts clothing upon them. He knows exactly what has gone wrong. And his foreknowledge, God himself is making and working towards that time when he will ultimately pay for their sins. And I find this absolutely amazing. This elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit. We see the doctrine of the Trinity here. This is something so profound. We've been talking about it over our evenings a little bit when we talk about the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yes, the three who's and the one what. They're all God. One in God, if you like. These three different identities and working together. So the foreknowledge of God and then the sanctification of the Spirit. And as you're sitting here today, my friends, the sanctification of the Spirit is at work in you if you're a believer in Jesus. Ongoing work, every trial, every tribulation, you read further on in Peter's letter. So we hear testimonies like Mary Ann's and families. As a believing family in Jesus, God is working in them something way beyond what we can see or imagine. And even in that difficulty, he provides. There's a sanctification of the Spirit. For what? For obedience. Obedience, my friend, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. This is an image in the minds of the Jewish people that Peter's writing to. The sprinkling, all the sprinkling of the blood of the animals as they did over all the utensils. All the things would be sanctified and put aside for God's use. It was declared holy, if you like, through the sacrifice, the shedding of blood. And as they'd sprinkle the blood, as it were, even on the people, was as atonement for their sins. Speaking of Jesus. So this is an image in the Jewish minds, and hopefully we understand this as Christians as well. We sang it how many times this morning, the power in the blood of Jesus. And we are not just sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, we are washed by the blood of Jesus. Our sins are like scarlet, they're white as wool. This is absolutely amazing. But this word, please don't forget that word, obedience. I was reading just this week about Samuel and Saul, you know. Saul wanted to impress Samuel and then obviously God by his sacrifice that he brought, okay? But in doing so, he was disobedient to a clear instruction that God had given him. And Samuel reminds him that obedience is better than sacrifice. Always is. Obedience. And here is the thing that is on us, on you and on me this morning. We can't just sit back as robots and say, Lord, I just want you to sweep me along and take me along my journey, my friends. No, there's an us to be obedient. Paul says, if you are led by the Spirit, yes, led. If you are led by the Spirit, if you're led by something or someone, my friends, we've got to follow. Yes, does that make sense to us? There's obedience involved. And so every decision in life, like my parents and all of us, when we pray about key decisions, that's the thing that we seek. Lord, what is your will for my life in this instance? I've got all my plans and my ambitions and the things of this world and things that make logical sense. But if it's not of you, I want to be led by your Spirit. And when he leads you, we obey, even though it makes no sense to the world whatsoever, okay? So the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Right there, in the opening to this letter, you see something of the doctrine, this great teaching throughout the Bible of our triune God, which is absolutely amazing. And what does Peter say in verse 3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us just very briefly in these few moments that we have to see here that our salvation has got three tenses to it, a past, a present, and a future. Our salvation. And you see this here in these key words here. Blessed be the Father, the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has, past tense, begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. That word begotten there, so maybe your translation may say, born again, new birth. You know, when you came to the Lord, you didn't just get transformed, you were born again. Born again of the Spirit of God. You've become a new creature. All things have gone away. Behold, I make all things new. He has begotten us again to what? A living hope, not a a futile hope in this world that things are maybe going to work out, and by faith we're hoping it will. No, we have a living hope. And Peter writes about this as we go along. But remember, he has begotten you. You've been born again by the Spirit of God because of the blood that was shed for you and your faith that you have put in him through the resurrection of our Jesus Christ from the dead. That moment when Jesus rose from the dead, my friends, everything changed. Everything changed. After Jesus died and then he rose again. Forever to be in glory. And then it says in verse 4, this living hope in Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. And this is what I want us to hold on to this morning. To an inheritance incorruptible or imperishable and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved where? In heaven for who? For you, okay? For you. If you're a believer in Jesus, you have an inheritance. Your parents could maybe have left you nothing but debt on this world, okay? Some people are blessed in this world. They get a fat inheritance from grandma or grandpa, whoever it may be, okay? Temporary. It's only temporary. As a born-again believer, you have an inheritance that is imperishable, incorruptible. It is not defiled and it does not fade away. No inflation is going to take away from this inheritance. And you can see what Peter is doing in light of persecution and difficulties that we go through, because we all do. He's getting us to focus on what is there. Now remember who's writing this again. Peter, whose eyes were always on the here and now, okay? Want to sort out the problem now. And Jesus was always there lovingly correcting him, Peter, you don't understand now, but later you will. And Peter now, as an older man, understands and he is encouraging the church by the power of the Holy Spirit, getting us to look forward to that which is coming and don't look at which is just around about you right now. It's reserved in heaven for you. And verse 5, this is the present tense and the continuous who are kept. You are kept ongoing. You got to know this, my friends. How? By the power of God. Peter understood this better than anyone else, I'd imagine, because he had the zeal, he had the desire to do what is right. My goodness, who of us would take out a sword and chop somebody's ear off? It's pretty violent. But such was the zeal in this man and his love for his master, but misguided. Peter understood something of his own power and his own zeal and his own desire to do and even ability to do, which got him into trouble. But now understands the power of God in his life. This power, as I've said, that word dunamis, is the ability to do. None of us here has the excuse to say, I don't have the ability in Jesus now, in obedience to him. I don't have the ability to do. If God has told you, if God has put you in a situation, again, Marianne, we're so grateful for their testimony this morning, that seems so impossible. Many of us are sitting here this morning crying tears because we're thinking, what an awful thing to go through. How would I cope? I don't know if I would be able to cope with something like that. But yet there's an ability to do because of the power of God. You see this, and Peter understands this. You are kept, you are carried through. And I imagine almost Peter, imagine when he walked on the water, my goodness, who could say they walked on water other than Jesus? Peter did it. He actually felt what it was like to walk on water, even if it was for a short moment, and then quickly realized how quickly you can sink. And Peter knew the power of God as Jesus reached out his hand and pulled him back in. Peter understands this, I imagine, better than most other people. You are kept, my friends. Remember this. In your hardest, most difficult situation that you're going through, you are kept. How? Through faith for salvation. You're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation to be revealed in the last time. In other words, what he's saying there, okay, it's not all about here and now, because that was Peter's mistake too, okay? How many times the disciples asked, Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom and just kick out these dreaded Romans? We hate them, okay? Lord, we hate our Labour government. Lord, forgive me, okay? We don't like what we see about our government and all these things that we say all the time. Now, Lord, fix it now. But the reminder here is that you are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. And here's the future part, ready to be revealed in the last time. My friends, well, this is a huge message for us, okay? Because I can see how easy it is for me and all of us to get absorbed, if I can use the word, into the climate of the world. Okay, I heard a teacher just this week, we've gone through it so many times. Remember, Jesus wrote to the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation, you're neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm. And if you are lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. In other words, and so the picture there is the lukewarmness. And for something to be lukewarm, it's absorbed the ambient temperature. And I never heard it quite explained like that. It made so much sense to me. It is literally the temperature, the climate around you has gotten into you, and you are no longer supernaturally cold or supernaturally hot. Okay, both, if you like, in my mind, is acceptable. But you're under the power of God in each one of those, and acceptable to God. An ice cold cup of coffee or a hot cup of coffee is acceptable. Don't give me a lukewarm one, I'm gonna spit it out, okay? Don't let the world get the better of you. Don't let the climate of this world remember this to be revealed in the last day. Jesus was able to endure that cross, the horrors of the cross, because of the joy that was set before him. When he saw the many sons and daughters that will come to glory here in this room, Jesus, or some of your people who love him. They love him. And he endured. And so Peter's saying to each and every one of us, don't lose this hope. You are kept all the way through by the power of God through faith. Don't lose your faith, my friends. What are these trials and tribulations we go through? We hear how often we the enemy's there. When you're down, my friends, when you've been deserted, as we heard this morning, the enemy will be there. Walk away. This is all a waste of time. Job's wife, curse God and die, Job. This is miserable. And the voice of the enemy will be there, my friends. This is where the strength of God comes in. Our dependence on him, the love of the church, the body of Christ working together so that you are kept. And you know that you are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed. Hallelujah. In the last time. And then he says, okay, this is the opening of his letter to these poor Christians that are suffering. In this, you greatly rejoice. I ask myself, do we greatly rejoice? It's nice when we come together like this and we sing songs of praise and worship. And we rub shoulders one with another and we share God's goodness. Yes, we rejoice. Is there something we can testify of ourselves throughout the busyness of week? In this you greatly rejoice, all these wonderful truths that he's just pointed out. And then he says, now, even though you rejoice, though now for a little while, okay? Now remember, Paul wrote something similar. These trials and tribulations are like a short here and the now, not worthy to be compared for the things which shall be revealed. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You know what's one of my prayers? I pray so many times, and I encourage you to do the same thing. Lord, please, let there not be any if need be's in my life. Because God in his grace and his mercy, when we, again like Peter, would want to go our own way and let the flesh get the better of us, even in a righteous zeal, I'm going to fix this nation. I'm going to be out there in London protesting and screaming and shouting and demanding change. Okay? Even in that, God is gracious and he can bring us back And he uses all kinds of ways through trials, tribulations. And the first thing when we go through a difficult time is to go down on our knees and humble ourselves before God and allow him to do his work in us. And I always pray, Lord, let there not be any need be for me to go through trials and tribulations. Okay? But it says there, though for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Why do these things happen? Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith. We can all sit here and proclaim faith in the name of Jesus till next week, next month, next year. But where is somebody's faith really tested? Trials, tribulations, difficult times, persecution. This is where you really see where we're at and a huge test to us. So these things happen, if need be, that the genuineness of your faith, that being much more precious than gold, okay, and money and all the stuff that goes with that, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. One day we're going to stand before our Lord, amen? And my friends, he's going to reward us. Jesus said in Revelation 22 verse 12, he says, and behold, I am coming quickly, like suddenly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Wouldn't it be amazing when you hear the words out of his righteous mouth? Well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, this is what I'm looking forward to, my friends. Even though we go through difficult times, we that I may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. His bride refined, shining bright, standing before him, washed by the blood of the righteous Lamb. And I love what Peter says in verse 8, whom having not seen, people may have had visions of Jesus, but as Peter says here, whom you've not seen, I've not seen Jesus. I've not seen what he looks like. I've seen many AI-generated images, okay, and all things like that. But I've not seen Jesus. And Peter could say, I have seen Jesus. But do you see how he can say, you've not seen him? Even though you've not seen him, though now you do not see him, yet believing. You guys are here. I say this all the time as an encouragement. You've come here this morning. Maybe wife or husband's dragged you here. I don't know. Or mom or dad came here against your will. But I hope for the most part we're here because we love the Lord. Okay? We could have been at football, could have been shopping, could have been doing a nice garden stint or whatever we want to do at home. But we've come here because we believe and we love the Lord. And though we've not seen him, yet we believe. And he says, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. My goodness, what a church is Peter describing here. Full of joy, inexpressible. Have you been in that place in the presence of God when you're worshiping him and you're in his word and you become more and more aware of who he is and what he's done for you? It is literally like the things of this world grow strangely dim. That old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that joy, it's not a joy that you could express like the Spanish football team, you know, that's temporary, okay? It fades away. It is a joy inexpressible that Christians can testify of even in persecution. How? By the power of God. Believing, and we rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, hallelujah. And then he says this, receiving the end of your faith. Do you see the past, the present, ongoing, and the future? You have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, my friends. When you were born again of the Spirit of God, you went through the waters of baptism, you have been born again. It's been done. It's finished. Jesus said, it is finished at the cross. You are being kept continuous. You are being saved continually. Every day I am being saved. And ultimately, when he comes, salvation is complete. And so shall we ever, we sang that this morning, forever, ever be with the Lord, receiving the end of your faith. It's an ongoing thing. What is Satan after right now? To make shipwreck of your faith. God may allow us to go through trials and tribulations, as we said, the Bible says. Be aware of the voice of the enemy that will be there, like with Job's wife. Throw in the towel, my friend. This is all just a load of rubbish. No, he's trying to make shipwreck of your faith. No, receiving the end of your faith, the final result of your faith, when you shall see Jesus. What is this? The salvation of your souls. My friends, that is no small word. We make salvation a small thing. What are we saved from? Yes, I've said this many times. You can go on the street and tell people, you've got to be saved. You've got to believe in Jesus. Yeah, brilliant. Or what are they being saved from? Eternal separation from God. The Bible speaks so much about hellfire, my friends. And it's not God's desire that any of us should go there. God so loved the world, the whole world, that he sent his Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's foreknowledge. That's God's desire for each and every one of us. But whosoever should believe in him, faith in the living Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask each and every one of us here this morning, okay? Because we're very good at Christianese, okay? That's our language. Everyone's got our own, you know. Every country's got its own accent. Every district here has got its own accent, okay? Every family has a unique way of speaking. Every individual's got a unique sort of language that you can identify with. That's that person. You'll know, if you know them well, that's their language. And we can be really good with our Christianese accent, my friends. But is it really in here? Is the challenge for us. Now, my prayer for you and for me is, Lord, that there not be a if need be in our lives, because you need to test our faith, because we're a little bit absorbed or absorbed too much of the world. Only you and I will know that. I challenge you this morning and I encourage you to check yourself as I must check myself. Lord, am I allowing this world to get into me and my family? Are we allowing the world to press in on the church that we may become more and more lukewarm, ambient temperature? I'd rather be hot on fire for you, or cold, if that is acceptable for you, under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a huge challenge for us. Is our faith truly alive? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in this world? There's a great question there, open-ended question. Will he find faith? What do you believe? Yes, last week we were so privileged, or the week before, to see baptisms here, where people take that step of obedience and you get baptized, saying no to this world, turning completely to Jesus. And my old life is gone. I identify with the death and the burial and then the resurrection of Jesus in baptism. And my life is now found in him. And I will continue in this walk of faith. My friends, if that's you this morning, if you've not made that decision, maybe you're toying with the idea, thinking about it. We were just praying about it this morning. How many people we've encountered who are out there, when you talk to them and they hear you're a Christian. I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about going to church. I shared this story this morning. I remember a few years ago, there's a lady that was next door here, and she parked her car in here sneakily, and somebody pulled up the bollards, and she was stuck and couldn't get out. And somehow she got my number from her neighbors here. I guess they got it off the website. I don't know. And she called me in a panic. Please, please, can you come and let us out? I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have parked then. So I had a bit of a chuckle, said, all right, I'll come over and open for you. And I couldn't help myself. Say, you know, you've parked outside the church and you're kind of trapped in here now. You think God's maybe saying something to you. And you know what she said to me? She says, a younger lady, she says, my mom and I have just been talking about going to church. And we need to get back to church. So, well, you couldn't get a clearer message than that, okay? you were literally trapped in. I'm going to let you out, but you're going to come back. And sadly, where is she today? I don't know. I hope and pray that she's gone to church. There are many people out there. Maybe you're sitting here this morning. You have got yourself here. Maybe somebody's listening online. They are there at that point. My friend, you've got to take that step. Yes, don't wait for that lightning bolt from heaven so that I'm zapped into the kingdom of God. You've got to make that choice. It's a step of obedience. God has done all for us, for salvation through His Son. We want to receive the end of our salvation, salvation of our souls, end of our faith, salvation of our souls. Amen. I'm going to pray for us. I know Dave and Jill, if you've got a song. But Lord, I do want to pray for each and every one of us here this morning. Lord, we just come to you as we are. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies we heard today. And Lord, of your faithfulness, your goodness, even through the most difficult times in life. Lord, we know that as that word says, Peter says, we are kept by faith, by the power of God, kept for salvation. You are reserving an incorruptible inheritance for us right now, Lord, for us in heaven. Help us, Lord, to be heavenly minded. Help us, Lord, to be walking in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Lord, help us to, as Peter has learned, to lay aside the things of this world and our own personal zeal and our drive and our own ability or ability that we think we have to do, and to surrender that to you. And we receive your power, your ability to do that which you have called us to do. And we know that we'll be able. Lord, I pray that you'll forgive us for complacency where it sets in. Lord, where we've made excuses for work that you've given us to do, and we say we are unable. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. Lord, forgive us for our lack of faith. There is no excuse. There's nothing too difficult for you. And I pray that, Lord, today our faith would rise and we would stand in the power of your might and walk in the power of your spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Lord, I pray for each and every person here this morning. Lord, that every single one of us, if we leave this place, would be in a higher level with you. For those that are still not come to that place of salvation, we pray for them this morning. We want to pray against the enemy that might block ears and block an understanding, Lord, all those things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We want to pull those down in the name of Jesus, and that your word would cut through and we would see your children saved, hallelujah, and inherit that which you have purchased for us by your own blood. Lord, help us to be a church alive unto you in these days, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, friends.
And amen. Thank you, Dion. An amazing testimony. And God does not control our lives. He gives us the control. It's up to us. So I pray that as God's love goes on, He never changes. He never turns. Let's lift our voices and our hands to God and sing His praise.
We sing our song.
Lord, we bring you all our praise and our worship this day. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege to be together like this. As your church, thank you, Lord, that you so true to your words, always true. You never leave us nor forsake us. We know that you are here.